Relationship Podcast with your host, certified life coach, Chris Rich. If you're having trouble navigating your mixed faith relationships, struggling to connect with your people, or having specific challenges, you are in the right place, my friend. Episode 93, Letting Go of What Was Supposed to Happen with Katie Pulsifer. Hello there, my beautiful friends. I'm super excited to have another guest with me here today on the Mixed Faith Relationship Podcast. So Katie is one of my mentors that I met at the Life Coach School. And all of my mentors, they all have a very unique personality. And the thing that I love, well, a couple of things that I just love about Katie, she has so much grace and poise and confidence and just an amazing skill. So I just adore her. She's a very talented coach. And I know that you guys are going to love the message that she has to share today. And I feel like it's very applicable to those of us that are in mixed faith relationships. And Katie, I'm so honored to have you here today. So welcome.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I was really looking forward to spending time with you. Thank you.
So welcome. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are just personally and what you do.
Yeah, well, I am a mom, a wife in a mixed faith relationship. I am also a life coach and a daughter and a person trying to make today a little bit better than yesterday and laugh at myself along the way because nothing ever goes as planned, does it? No. I am running a business, coaching clients, and, you know, figuring out this midlife phase of life, spending a lot of time reigniting my friendships, which is really fun, and figuring out what I love and what I'm all about, having been so focused on raising and launching kids into the world. So that's where I'm at the moment.
I love it. I love it. And I love what you said about making today a little better than yesterday.
Small steps.
Yes. Very important things. Yeah. I love that. Well, so Katie, for my listeners, most of us, we thought that we were going to have these perfect marriages and, well, not perfect, but an ideal situation mm-hmm. where we have families and marriages that are centered around our faith and our membership. And so I personally am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. of Latter-day Saints. And so now a lot of us find ourselves in a situation where our spouse or a child, another loved one, that's not their thing anymore. And so this little perfect plan that we had of how mm-hmm. things should look is totally different than we thought. Yeah. So I would love your thoughts on that. How do we let go of this idea of what was supposed to happen when it's so important to us?
Well, it is something definitely to never, I think, diminish or minimize, that the dream is not coming true. I think that there's so many reasons why we want the thing that we want or believe that we'll get it, right? And I think we attribute it a lot often to doing the right thing, being good, following the rules, setting ourselves up the way that it was role modeled to us or the way that we believe will make us successful. And when it doesn't work, whatever it is, religion, I'm a product of a divorce. My first marriage didn't work out. I did not see that coming at all. Or when your kids choose a path or an activity, or they want to go to college, not where you thought they would go, or, you know, And I'm only, of course, bringing up a couple of examples. There are so many where things do not work out the way that we had envisioned. But naming that and being truthful about that, and I think being honest about how challenging that is step one. I see too many clients like dismiss that, or, oh, I can't be sad about that. That's not really a thing. Or people have much bigger problems in the world, or they're contending with much harder things. How can I give voice or put a spotlight on this particular pain point of just my dream didn't come true, or my vision for my family didn't come true, or I thought we were going this way, but we're now going this way.
Wow, that, I love that. I love the, yeah, because I think it's so easy to, like you were saying, it's so easy to compare. I think of it as comparative atrocities. Like, yes, to me, this is a huge deal, but she might have breast cancer or something. And so it's like, how can I feel bad about that? And I think so many of us are so quick to just be like, okay, here we go. This is what's happening. And we resist so much of those emotions that are, that we're feeling. Yeah. I love.
Yeah. You're so right. And I think that's where we as coaches can be quite helpful, is providing a space for a client to express that. So if they maybe can't find a place where they feel safe in their community or in their friend group or in their family because of other things that people have going on, then in a coaching conversation, we can allow them to process that and hold space. I don't mean to say we can allow them to, but more create a sacred space for those things to be spoken and acknowledged, for them to like hear themselves say, this is really hard.
Yeah.
No one gets it, but it's really, really hard. Because step one of moving through it, and I know we're going to talk about the grief side of it and how, you know, moving forward when things don't go as planned, but step one is just the acknowledgement, hey, this isn't what I signed up for, or I never planned on this happening. And I have to acknowledge the disappointment, the loss, the frustration, the sadness, whatever it is.
So, so, so important. And I think going back to what you were saying a minute ago, yeah, we have this, we definitely have this idea. Like, you know, I remember thinking, like, I have done all the things. I have, you know, if there were a checklist of things that I was supposed to do, and they were things that I wanted to do, not that I didn't want to.
Yes.
But yeah, it was just like, I've done all the things. And now this is, yeah, I think that's such an interesting, and I think that can put us in a spot where it was just where, you know, it's very disillusioning. And it's like, this is not what I signed up for. That was my mantra for probably 10, 15 years that I just, and I know my listeners have heard me talk about that a lot, that how that thought is not a useful thought to stay in. And it's also so important to recognize that so how do you find I think that's a great question right there. How do you find the balance between like to claim that pain and what is going on, what is real, and not dwelling there in that this isn't what I signed up for?
Well, I can speak from recent experience. So I had the pleasure of working for the Life Coach School for 5 years. Dream job, got to do some of the coolest things, be part of the executive team and shape programming, meet so many incredible coaches, trained students. I mean, it was just the best.
Yeah.
And I lost my job. I didn't see it coming. I did not plan on that. I thought I would work there forever.
Yeah.
And so I was in the space much of last summer feeling like this shouldn't be happening. I never expected this to happen. How can this be happening? It came out of nowhere. And it was very hard for me to explain why it was happening.
Yeah.
So I was just in that space for a lot of 2023, like the second half of 2023. And I just didn't rush that experience. It felt awful, Chris. I'm not going to pretend that it was amazing.
I can't even imagine.
It felt terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I just found a way each day to say to myself, okay, this is happening. This is my experience. I don't want it to be, and it is. Now, I'm not going to tell you I handled it beautifully. I threw a fit. I talked about it all the time. I felt really sorry for myself. I complained. You know, it was messy for sure.
Yeah.
But one day I was able to find the thought that changed everything. And I really want to share it with you and your community, because the thought was, if I had to do the whole experience over again, knowing how it turned out with me being let go from a job I loved, I would do it all again in a heartbeat.
Oh, I love that.
And that thought changed everything for me, because it immediately released me from feeling like I was the victim of my situation, or feeling like I didn't have any control, and feeling like it was done to me. And I was able to move into, yeah, but it was so worth it. Even being in this pain right now, and even being with this disappointment, it was so worth it. I would do it again.
I love that. Love that. And so fascinating as you were sharing all that. I'm like, that's totally how I felt. And my listeners,
I'm sure.
Just that hard. Yeah. And I think that is a very valid point too, that you made, that you didn't do it beautifully. I certainly didn't do it beautifully. Oh, I was a hot mess for a lot of time.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yes. And I mean, if I fast back to when
rewind.
My first rewind, there we go. That's the word. To my first marriage ending, I spent so many nights on the bathroom floor feeling sorry for myself, sobbing, listening to the saddest music. Oh my God. Like Adele was playing on like looping. It was ugly, ugly. Aww. But anyway, the only way through is through.
Yes. I think that's a big thing. That thought, the only way through is through, and it's okay to have. I think I remember when I started coaching, one of the best pieces of advice, I can't remember who offered this, was you're supposed to be bad at this. And I love that, because when I, you know, like in anything that we're starting new, if we're in a new situation, if you just found out that a loved one left, or maybe they have made a choice that you don't love, maybe it's not what you had planned on. I love that thought. It's okay that I don't have this figured out. I've never been in this situation. I'm supposed to be bad at this right now. And in a couple weeks or months or years, this is going to look very different. But for now, it's okay that it's not beautiful and easy.
And with that, I think adding that it's always temporary. We forget that when we're in the depths of sorrow, sadness, when we're really struggling, and I think our brains just torture us so much sometimes, and they immediately start like, oh, it's always going to be like this. You're never going to feel any better. You're never going to meet anyone else. You're never going to get another job. You and your partner are never going to be on the same page about your belief systems or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's always temporary. So.
That's a good, I love that reminder. I think of, I've had a lot of my clients, they'll say, Chris, do I ever Will I ever get to the point where I'm not grieving? Will I ever, will I ever be where it's like, it's not so hard? And I think one of my favorite ways to think of this, I like to think of our emotions like a weather Doppler. And there are going to be some times where there is just like a, you know, like when you're watching the weather app on your phone, where it's like red and orange and yucky, and it's a big storm going on, and it feels, and it's scary with lightning and thunder, and that Doppler moves, and it's nice when that storm is over, but we never think like, is it ever going to rain again? Are we ever going to have lightning and thunder again? Well, yes, we will, but it's just those temporary, you know, it comes and it goes.
Yeah, that's a beautiful visual. That's super helpful. Yeah, it is fluid, temporary. There are going to always be more inputs. There's always going to be more information. There's going to be another thing that disappoints us that's going to like trump this thing that we feel is the worst thing that's ever happened to us. There's bound to be something else coming, unfortunately. And so that's where I think having some grace and some patience with ourselves, it's like, I know this feels awful right now. And one day it will feel less awful. And one day it may be gone, or it may be tolerable, or may be able to just have this thing in my life be with me and not be so devastating, not bring me to my knees, not like knock me over. It'll just be one of the many things that I've learned to live with, overcome, work through, grow from. Yeah.
And I think with that too, knowing, so yes, there are going to be these hard, hard, hard things. Mm-hmm. That's what being a human, having these experiences, ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's going to be a lot of sunshine there. Like today, I live in Massachusetts and we haven't had sunshine for like 2 weeks. I don't know if you've been in the same weather, but there is sunshine today. And it's important to remember that with those hard things, there are going to be beautiful, amazing moments where you feel emotions that are lovely, that we love to feel.
Yeah.
That whole 50-50 that my listeners have heard me talk about a lot, just those ups and downs.
Yes.
So, okay. I'm looking at my questions that I had thought about. How do we, and we may have already talked about this, but anything else on how do we get better at accepting what is? I love how Byron Katie says, when we argue with reality, we lose, but only 100% of the time. How do we get better at that, at accepting that what is?
Oh, I think it's kind of a boring, not fun answer. I think it's a lot of repetition and a lot of trying and not doing it well and trying again and getting a little bit better, like most things, right? I wish that it was like this experience that just felt joyful and amazing and just like you knew you were like in it and it was just changing your life for the better. I think it's these just like one, like little incremental steps, or as I like to say in my community, like these 1 degree shifts that we make, where we're just kind of lifting the burden, making it a little bit lighter, like kind of one moment at a time, one thought at a time. And often we remember to do it when we are struggling, or when we are feeling really challenged, or when we're like, oh my God, here I am again, making my life so much harder than it needs to be because I'm arguing with reality. And it's like, okay, what else is true? What else could I be thinking now? How else might I see this? So, yes, I think being clear and setting expectations for ourselves that is sort of a slow and steady, boring process that takes a while is helpful.
I love that.
Every time we tell ourselves the truth about this stuff, I think we're setting ourselves up a lot better to be successful. But often, don't you think that you have to start, if you're in total denial, that you have to just get yourself, however long it takes, to just a place of neutrality before anything else is possible? Just the pure, like, truth telling. Is that what you work on too with your clients?
Yeah, because I think it's just, it's definitely, you know, for so many of us, it's like, well, if I, we start kind of grasping at straws, like, if I can just get my loved one to come back to church, or if I can get them to come back to, and I think it is really, it can be really, really scary and hard to accept that things look very, very different. But when it's like, okay, this is what's happening. And I think my favorite questions are, who do I want to be? And how do I want to show up right now? Because this is what is going on around me. So that's, definitely a, and I love how you said it's like, we think it's going to, it would be so nice if there was some pretty process that was easy and fun. And wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, always involve delicious things to eat and beautiful, you know, it's like, I'd sign up for that in a heartbeat. No, no, it's just this internal work that we have to do that is often goes unnoticed. We don't get any credit for it. It's like what we do when we're driving to the grocery store or folding laundry or raking leaves in the fall, right? It's just like this very mundane, okay, I wish this weren't happening. I wish this thing that I wanted to have come true did, and it's not. This is what's happening. I want this. Partner wants this. I thought we'd do this. Child wants to do that. You know, whatever it is. And it's just allowing that truth to like settle in and be, and then resist that part of us that wants to change it and kind of strangle it and force it and control it into being something else. But it's just, it's a pure release and a letting go and just standing in truth. Hard. Not easy. But the alternative, which we get to point out to our clients all the time, is the constant discourse, the constant struggle, the constant frustration, resentment that's building, anger, the things that are like kind of like simmering below the surface or coming out in the form of disagreements or frustration. I don't know with your clients, but with mine, sometimes there's some overeating and some overdrinking and some lot of time on social media. And they're like, I don't know how I just lost those 2 hours, but they're gone.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, this is what I do when I notice that I am wishing my situation was different. I go here to this world to escape.
You know, it was interesting for me that in my situation, so all those things, but the drinking, I don't drink, but for me, a lot of it was my faith was such a big part of who I was. And so it was like, I would do more. I would volunteer more. I would get even more involved with good things that I loved, or, you know, reading my scriptures more, or just feeling like I needed to become more and more spiritual. And now looking back, it's fascinating because I love doing those things and they are all things that I value that are very important to me. But I want to do those things so I can connect with deity instead of doing them so I don't have to feel my grief and my pain.
Yes. Oh gosh. And it's such a significant difference. The source, the motivation behind how you spend that time changes the time spent significantly in your experience with it. So, oh, that's amazing that you can be an example to your community about what it can look like. Because often we talk about sort of the negative consequences of doing some activities to distract or numb ourselves. And that one looks so great on the surface that it might be hard to sleuth out as a problem. But being able to share that it was for you, I'm sure was very illuminating and helpful to your community.
Well, it was, I think we don't want to feel these emotions, and there are all sorts of things that we do, so we don't have to feel them. We're really good at that. So I love that. I think coaching really helped me to, I mean, no one ever teaches us what to do with our emotions. So that was a beautiful thing to learn, that it's okay. It's okay to feel that grief. It's okay to feel anger and frustration, resentment, all those different things. And I ate plenty of hot chocolate chip cookies and all those, getting on my phone and those things as well. They weren't all things that were, but just interesting to kind of identify how we all do those things in different degrees.
Oh yeah. My favorite is to like buy stuff. Oh God. Love it. It's like when I have stuff in a shopping cart, I'm like, hold on, what is happening here? Or when I find I have this like urgent feeling to run to this little sweet boutique that's like in the town next to mine and just like look at beautiful clothes, I'm like, okay, is this because I actually need something? Or am I trying to outrun and outshop my emotional experience right now? So
totally.
Yeah.
And you know, interesting, because I thought, you know, I was out running, and I'm a very social person, and I would just be with my friends as much as I possibly could, and just I was overdoing everything, and I thought I was doing a good job, but I didn't realize is that, and I was doing the best that I knew how at the time. So
of course you were, of course.
Love that part of me. But just recognizing that was something that as I was running away from those emotions, I did that for years, like 10, 12 years, where it was just like, okay, just keep going. And to stop and really just sit in that, this is not what I expected. This isn't what I signed up for. And to sit in that space, although it's not pleasant, then it's like, okay, I can set this down. I don't have to keep running from it all the time.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And when we give it our attention, we can begin to heal our relationship with our pain and our negative emotions and move and make some progress. But yeah, oh my goodness. If I think about all the people pleasing and all the cleaning and all the organizing and all of the decorating and all of the shopping and all of the glasses of wine I've had, I mean, I for sure am very good. If I look at my life, I am very good and very skilled at handling my emotions with stuff like that. And it works for a brief period of time. But it is not a permanent solution. But yeah, I agree always that we were doing the best we could with what we knew at the time. So
yes,
in a different way.
And I think it's just beautiful having, I think that's one of my favorite things to help clients with, is to help them learn, okay, how can I go through this so I can get to the other side. And there, like we talked about earlier, there are definitely other things to come, but just having those skills that I can get through it, whatever, I can handle whatever emotion comes my way.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And now sometimes I don't want to feel, I don't know if you have this experience ever. Sometimes I actually don't want to, but I'm very clear that I don't want to feel. I'm choosing not to feel on purpose. It's conscious buffering, I call it, or conscious checking out, or conscious numbing. But it is like, I know I have a choice to feel this discomfort. I actually have no ability to do it right now. Like I'm incapable of doing it. I'm choosing this instead. I'm all in on my decision. I love it. I'll probably regret it tomorrow. that is fine.
I love, and just, yeah, giving yourself that permission. You don't have to
Yes.
have it figured out all the
You don't
time.
have to be perfect about it. That is not the goal here.
I love that. Yeah,
Oh.
definitely be messy. Oh, Katie, there's so many things that we could talk about. I'm just looking a couple of the other things as we're kind of wrapping up. You had mentioned how we, in the beginning, you talked about how we have these rules for ourselves or the other people have, maybe from our faith or just growing up, the things that we've seen. How do we identify those rules, and what do we do to what can we do with those rules so they'll serve us better? Because definitely in this, in our faith community, there are things, there are commandments that we keep or different things that we what would that give me an idea of what that would look like?
Yeah, so this is the primary thing I work on with my clients is sort of identifying the rules that we've written. So and re-examining our relationship with the rules. So yes, there are rules like the commandments that you mentioned. There are societal rules. There are rules from our upbringing and our childhood. There are rules in our community. There are rules in our home, right? Everywhere we turn, there are rules. And I think it's really wise and really important to acknowledge that we don't have to follow the rules unless we choose to. That, and to name that as a way of talking about our agency and talking about our control over ourselves. Most of the time, there are a lot of rules that we're going to want to follow that are in alignment with our values, with who we want to be as people, as how we want to treat others. And so it can be a very easy yes. I am subscribing to these. I am recommitting to these rules. These mean something to me. This is how I want to be in the world. So I think that's just important every once in a while to kind of take stock. What have I signed up for? Would I choose it again? Do I love these rules? Why these rules? Okay, yes, good. Often in these discussions, there's a whole bunch of other kind of quieter, unspoken rules or things we've just decided long ago that we're still adhering to, and we don't even know why, that are causing us so much pain. Right? Just old belief systems, old ways of doing things. For example, I had a very old friendship with a dear friend, someone I had known since we were kids. And in my 50s, the friendship just isn't gelling anymore. It's just more work than I'm willing to put in, and I'm willing to work hard. So there's something else here. I think we're not on the same page anymore, which happens. But until I realized that my kind of old rule was you stay friends with people you've known since you were a kid. Like that's just what you do. I didn't even know I was thinking it. It was just in there somewhere. And it kept pushing me towards a friendship that I kept wanting to step away from and kept feeling like every time we spent time together, I was like, but I didn't realize what was driving me to keep showing up for it was this belief I had to make it work no matter what. So that is a very simple example of where a re-examining of the rules and maybe rewriting them and then being willing to like break that rule. Like that's just not a rule I'm willing to keep anymore when it has me showing up and spending time with someone that it's the relationship has kind of completed itself. What do
I
you think?
love thinking of things like that instead of like this didn't work, but that this is complete. I got the things out of this that I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I was just, as you were sharing that, I was thinking of some of the rules that, you know, like I had this idea that I needed to be perfect and that I needed to have the perfect family and the perfect marriage. And those are definitely some rules that I had to redefine what perfect even is. Perfect might be a messy family where sometimes you get along and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you agree on things and sometimes you have totally different beliefs. That's, yeah, I think it's so, so important that we look at that. Katie, I could talk to you for 10 hours.
Likewise, this is so easy and fun.
I love this. Love talking about all these things. Katie, is there anything else, as we're wrapping things up, is there anything else that you want to, any last little things that you want to share with us? And then I'll have you tell where people can find you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would just say that anyone that is taking up this work of examining rules, figuring out which ones they're going to break or let go of or bend because it's of the greatest service to them, be patient and kind with yourself. It's not going to feel great at the beginning, because it's a little bit of an identity shift and it's a letting go, as to bring us back to our theme of a way of being and a way of thinking that you've probably held for a long time. I also think that I would offer the same advice in terms of accepting what is and moving towards healing. It is possible. It's not always the most fun, but it is possible and worth it work versus spending a lifetime wishing everything had turned out differently and that you have no control over the way life has turned out. That's absolutely not true. And it's so fun to help people realize that.
I love that. And I think with those, going back to the rules, a lot of times our rules, at least in this situation, our rules are what other people should be doing, how our spouses should be showing up, or with our kids.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to look at that and think like, okay, I can choose how I want to do this. And I need to let other people choose how they want to, those rules for them, which is not an easy thing, but just recognizing a lot of times my rules involve how all the other humans should show up. And that's not, they don't like that. Katie, how can people find you if they would like to learn more about what you do?
Oh, thank you. So I can be found, Katie Pulsifer, on social media, and then katiepulsifercoaching.com is where I have lots of information on my website about who I help, Gen X rule following women who are ready to break some rules so they can feel better in their lives. And I do private coaching and group coaching and communicate with members of my community a couple times a week, trying to help as many people as I can. So,
well, I just thank you for the help that you've given me. I've learned so much from watching you and just the things that you've taught me. And I so appreciate all the goodness and light and love that you put into the world. So I just thank you. Thank you for being here.
Gosh, it was an honor to spend time with you. And thank you for everything you are doing in your community as well. It really, really matters.
Well, we make a great team, don't we? Okay, my friends, that is everything that we've got to you for today. Make a great week. Mwah! Don't have to be on the same page with religion to have a great relationship. If you are feeling stuck in all the emotions that are coming up for you in your mixed faith relationships, or are looking for tools to help you move forward, I can help you. Sign up for a free session with me. Go to chrisrichcoaching.com and click on work with me, because you and your loved ones are worth it, my friend. Thank you.